Today I would like to comment on the events of the recent 2 weeks. First of all, a review of what we stand for, why this church exists, and why we do what we do here. Vatican II, which lasted from 1962 to 1965, changed the Catholic faith substantially by introducing doctrinal, disciplinary, and liturgical changes which contradict pre-Vatican II Catholicism. That this substantial alteration of the Catholic faith has caused havoc and turmoil in the Catholic Church and has destroyed the Catholic faith in all of the institutions of the Church, whether schools or seminaries or convents or just parishes. And it has destroyed the faith in nearly all of the people that frequent the churches in which this new religion is preached and practiced. That is the reality of the past 40 years. We also hold that these changes were perpetrated by the hierarchy at Vatican II and by their subsequent successors, because by faith we believe that the Catholic Church can never be unfaithful to Christ any more than the Blessed Virgin Mary could be unfaithful to her virginity. We hold that these perpetrators are not the true popes and bishops that they claim to be, but are false shepherds and are intruders into the Catholic faith. They are modernists. They do not hold the same faith as we. Although these modernist intruders continue the legal processes of the Catholic Church, continue to have elections and appointments, nonetheless, they have broken, like Martin Luther, from the faith of the Catholic Church. Because of this, they have no authority in the Catholic Church, and they do not represent it. The only way in which they may gain authority to rule the Church is by the repudiation of the new religion of Vatican II. That is why this Church exists. That is why we do what we do. Now, this situation in the Church, which is incredible as I just described it, nonetheless was both predicted and planned. It was predicted by St. Paul in speaking about the great apostasy from the faith in 2 Thessalonians. And he mentions this as one of the preparations to the coming of the Antichrist. The Catechism of the Council of Trent, which was written and published in 1570, mentions this great apostasy from the faith as one of the conditions of the second coming of Christ. This situation in the Church was planned by the enemies of the Church, by liberal Protestants, by liberal Jews, and by Freemasons. Planned for the past 200 years, really more than 200 years. Their dream and their project was to transform the Catholic faith into a dogma-less humanitarianism, a religion without dogmas, an ecumenical religion which concentrates on the Masonic ideals of dignity of man, of solidarity of the human race, of humanism, social justice, and a humanistic peace for the world. And these are the themes that you hear coming from the mouths of John Paul II and from his episcopate. Even the project or the idea of protecting human life from abortion is done in the name not of the commandments of God, but in the name of human dignity. Human dignity and solidarity are key phrases of Freemasonry. Humanism. Now, what have we seen during the past 26 and a half years of Karol Wojtyła? We have seen the continuation of this process of the destruction of the Catholic faith, which was begun by his predecessors, Paul VI and John XXIII. His very name, John Paul, indicates to us the nature of his program. He himself said it, to continue what John XXIII and Paul VI put in place. And even in his last will and testament, we read this week, he thanked God for Vatican II, this council that has thrown a wrench into the works of Catholicism. Catholicism, when it was at its peak, when it was converting Protestants, when the seminaries and the convents were filled with good seminarians and good nuns, priests everywhere, the Catholic Church, when it was in its beautiful state left to us by Pius XII, Vatican II took a wrench and threw it right into the works of this great church. And after 40 years, we see this destruction, and he has been the principal destroyer. We have seen the Catholic faith destroyed in all of its aspects, its doctrines. Orthodoxy in Catholic schools and seminaries and universities is gone. People teach that Christ did not rise from the dead, that Adam and Eve are a fable, that the scriptures are just stories. This is the common teaching throughout. We have seen ecumenism where Catholic dogmas are compromised by trying to get along with false religions. We saw the golden Buddha placed on top of the tabernacle in 1986, and a Buddhist priest offer incense to it in the very church of St. Clair in Assisi, under the very nose of this person, Karol Wojtyła, who was hailed as a great saint. We saw him kiss the Koran in 1999, kiss it in great solemn ceremony with photographs. The Quran, which says that it is impossible that God have a son and that our Lord Jesus Christ did not truly die on the cross. Those are quotations from the Quran. He kissed it. We see the destruction of the Council of Trent in the joint declaration with the Lutherans a few years ago, where all of the teaching of the Council of Trent concerning justification was just taken and trashed in order to have an agreement with the Lutherans. And he praised that. He was the instigator of it, and he praised it. To mention only a few things, 26 and a half years of this stuff. We see the destruction of our sacred liturgy over the past 40 years. Clown masses, dancing girls at masses. He himself had topless dancing girls in Africa waving themselves about in one of his masses. It was in the New York Times. He had a topless woman read the epistle in New Guinea at his own mass. There's pictures of it. And only to mention a few of the things. We're not only looking at him, but all of the things that he permitted and promoted. If you go to your local parishes, you see things that are absolutely abominable. And all of that has to be placed on him. He is responsible for all of that. It all goes on his shoulders. Because he had the power to stop it. And he did not. And when someone has the power to stop an evil and does not, according to moral theology, he becomes responsible. Mass attendance has declined dramatically since Vatican II. It was about at 75% in this country before Vatican II. Now it's down to about 25%. In Europe, it's far worse. Very few of the people who call themselves Catholic actually go to church on Sunday. Even a few years ago, the cardinals got together and said that Europe is going through a silent apostasy. They themselves admit that. That the faith is virtually gone from Europe. Now I ask you, if that's true, if they themselves see it, how can you say that this man's pontificate, so to speak, was a great success? That Europe itself, which has been the center of Catholicism, is now in apostasy by their own admission, and he is the holy man. He is the one, he is the savior, he's the great one. John Paul the Great, as they're calling him. He's great because Europe is in apostasy under his very nose. Vocations to the priesthood and to religious life are down so much it is staggering. In a few short years, there will be no priests for this new religion. Very, very few. And just before he died, what did the archdiocese announce? The closing of 17 Catholic schools. Is that growth? Is that success? Is that flourishing? Is that the springtime of the church? No, that is one more sad chapter in this destruction of our faith. If Vatican II had not taken place, if the church had continued along the path of its tradition, there would have been an announcement of 17 new Catholic schools. Because of the numbers of Catholics and the numbers of nuns and priests and brothers who would have joined to teach those children their Catholic faith. The indissolubility of marriage has been destroyed by the absurd use of marriage annulments. Marriage annulments which are given out for practically no reason. Because people are immature, they say, when they get married. Hundreds and hundreds of thousands have been given out, if not millions, since Vatican II in this country alone, whereas in 1939, the total number of marriage annulments was 90 worldwide. Last year, it was over 50,000 worldwide. In 1939, it was 90 worldwide. Does that tell you something about what they have done to marriage? And this is all on the shoulders of Karol Wojtyła. So was he the holy man? We saw in the crowds as they were burying him, calling out, Santo, 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 meaning he's a saint, he's a saint, he's a saint. All of these hundreds of thousands of people in a frenzy. Is he a saint? The reason why these crowds were in their frenzy over him is precisely because he has transformed the Catholic faith into a dogma-less humanism. Because he has transformed it into an ecumenical religion without the barriers of intransigent, unchanging dogmas. Precisely because he has kissed the Quran. Precisely because he has merged all religions or has tried to do so and has pulled down the walls of dogma. That's why they think that he's a saint. If Karol Wojtyła had taken a stand against modern errors as St. Pius X did, do you think that there would have been such an outpouring of praise for him? They would have called out Diavolo, that he was a devil. And they would have crucified him just the way they crucified our Lord Jesus Christ. If he had contradicted the modern world and its trends and its lusts with Catholic doctrine, do you think that they would have called out all of those things, Santo? No, they would have been irritated him and they would have blessed his death So John Paul II was not a saint by any means, but he was an evil man. Because he destroyed the Catholic faith and has left the Catholic Church in an absolutely miserable and deplorable state. Who is responsible for all of this? Look around at the Catholic Church. Who is responsible for it? If not he. He had the power to stop it. But he promoted it. He pushed it. He made horrible appointments of bishops. Bishops who don't even believe that Christ rose from the dead. He just made an appointment of a bishop in Italy who had written an article that Christ's resurrection from the dead was a myth. And he made him a bishop in Italy. Or Cardinal Casper, who just recently said, "We're not trying to convert anybody to Catholicism." In the ecumenical movement. We want them to stay where they are. He is a cardinal in the Curia. Who says that non-Catholic religions are means of salvation. He says that explicitly. He's a cardinal in the Curia. So John Paul was responsible for the loss of faith and morals in countless millions of souls. And he is responsible for all of the heresies and all of the aberrations and all of the scandals of the bishops and the clergy, including the disgusting scandals that we saw in the past year or two. He is responsible for all of those things. He did not lift a finger to stop them. The very person who was changing all of these wicked priests from parish to parish, giving them occasion to do their evil things, Cardinal Law. He made him the in charge of one of the basilicas in Rome. He made him the archpriest of St. Mary Major in Rome. Now, was he a conservative? As the media says, by no means. He was a revolutionary, and there was an article in Time magazine that said he was a revolutionary. Pointed out some very interesting things. As I said, he made abominable appointments of bishops, in some cases of blatant heretics, and maintained them in their places. Maintained them in their places as they did their heretical things. Having masses for perverts. Do we need to say anything else? He's responsible for that. He has denied the Catholic faith countless times by ecumenical acts, that is, participation in false worship. With just about every religion on earth, pagan religions, snake worshippers, voodoo, he has participated in all of those things. He has given approval to all of those things because he sees all religions as having a certain value. He does not believe, as we do, that the Catholic faith is the one true faith. And that outside of it, there is only false religion. There is only darkness. And if any of those religions have any truths, they have borrowed them from the Catholic Church, or they are natural truths of religion. But what they do have, which is their own, is their falsehood. And their falsehood, just like putting a pin in a balloon, destroys the truth of their religion. The Catholic Church is the one true faith, and it has no error in it. Furthermore, he excommunicated Archbishop Lefebvre, who was one of the few bishops who was doing anything, something, to stop the problems in the church. At the same time that he excommunicated him, he promoted to the episcopacy and the cardinalate people who were known heretics. And that should tell you something. Furthermore, there is no conservative or liberal in Catholicism. Catholicism is one faith for all. There is no such thing as conservative and liberal. It's all the same for everyone. There are no degrees of orthodoxy. Either you're Catholic or you're not. So the presence of so many people and of so many world dignitaries at his funeral, to me, was very disturbing for this reason. That their fervor of devotion to him is an indication that John Paul has succeeded in converting the majority of Catholics to the new religion. And the overwhelming praise of humanistic world leaders is an indication that they admired him as one of their own. Would they have been there for Pius X, the great anti-modernist? Would they have all been there? I doubt it. They saw him as a great leader in their humanistic program for the world. Proof positive, Gorbachev called him the world's number one humanist. That was his comment on the death of John Paul II. And this frenzy of praise for him is an indication how the world is tending toward the Antichrist. It will be an easy day for the Antichrist when we see those crowds, those millions of people, hailing him as if Hosanna. It is as if he has built an expressway for the Antichrist. The Antichrist will have an easy day when his time comes. Probably the Antichrist will be a religious leader who will promote humanism. So what next? I think most probably they will elect a John Paul III, if not literally. He might just take that name. Someone who will appear to the world and to the media as a conservative because he doesn't approve of women priests or some other radical thing. They'll call him a conservative, but who will continue to smash all of the treasures of the Catholic faith. I fear that will be the outcome. We pray God always that we get a true Catholic Pope. We pray God. But we must understand that the Antichrist is within God's providence, and that all of the things that lead up to him are within God's providence, so that we should not become impatient with God, but understand his plan and thank God for giving us the means to preserve the Catholic faith during these times. For us, nothing will change until Vatican II is repudiated, together with its subsequent reforms. We will hold tight in this small, quiet, but firm fidelity to the Catholic faith. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.